Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Stephen, and we're living Villa Capelli.
Yes, we are. We're living in Villa Capelli, actually.
It's been a long time, but we're back again.
We're back.
We say that every time, so we should just stop saying that, because you know, guys, it's going to be a while before we have another podcast.
Or maybe we should just do them more often.
We should.
Yes,
we should. We say that every time. But
it's Stephen's fault.
Yeah, it's always my fault. All right. You might sound a little tinny right now, but that's because we're in the kitchen because we have another special episode because we have two special guests with us.
Yes, two world travelers who are very, very interesting and important to us. They are Austin and Geneva.
Hello.
Hello.
They're not just two cities. They're actually two people.
Sitting warm and cozy in the kitchen at Villa Capelli.
Yes, with the fire on, with the fire burning.
So they're a father-daughter team who is traveling the world, essentially.
Austin is a single dad. Geneva is a single child.
Yes.
Together, they are a single family. So, it's very interesting. Geneva is 10 years old. We won't tell Austin's age.
34.
Austin's 34. They pretty much travel the world most of the time, right?
Right.
How long have you been traveling this time?
For 18 months. We left May in 2015.
Where did you leave?
Jackson, Wyoming.
Is that where you live full time?
We were living there for 2 years, and before that we were in Whistler, and before that we were in Aspen, Colorado, and before that we were in Sitka, Alaska.
So are you running away from someone?
No, more to or toward something, I hope, but I haven't quite found it yet. I wish. That's a question or a rumor that often gets started.
Geneva, I just want to ask you this point blank. Are you in the Witness Protection Program?
See, that's a question. That's what they teach you to answer.
What?
Witness Protection Program is when you do something bad against bad people, like the mafia, and you are a witness to them in trial or to the police, and the police know that you're probably going to be killed because of it, so they erase everything about you. They give you a new name, a new place to live, and you go and hide for the rest of your life. A lot of times, though, the rest of your life isn't really that long because the mafia catches up to you and kills you anyway. But you're not in the Witness Protection Program.
No.
I think Trump is cutting funding to that program anyway. So
we're not going to get political.
No, we're not getting political.
Geneva, you were born in New York, right?
Right.
New York City?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
That's New York City.
Yep.
Not Manhattan, but it's New York City.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you live there?
Two years.
Do you remember?
A little.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Sometimes.
So, how many cities have you visited since you were born in your ripe old age of 10?
That's
a trick question because I don't know that answer either.
Roughly. Is it 5, 10, 20, 40?
Cities?
Countries, she's been to 31, I think.
31 countries?
Yes.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Are you still on your first passport, or do you have
a couple now.
This is her fourth passport, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they also require kids to get them more frequently than adults.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because your face changes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I look the same.
You look the same as what?
What did I do?
Yeah, if you see her when she's 3 years old, she has a very similar. Yeah. I knew you right away.
What's your favorite country?
Well, I get that question a lot, but I really can't decide because there's so many different countries and different things that you like about different ones. Like maybe in Egypt, the hot water is warm, or in Malaysia, everything's really cheap and stuff. You can't really have a favorite, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because everything is different.
Yeah, everything's just really different. Different cultures, different food, different everything.
How about you, Austin? Do you have a favorite country?
I love Japan. And I like Switzerland, and I like a part of our country, Alaska.
So, but there's a question, I guess, the favorite country you visited versus lived in, because there is a difference. So some countries I think you would want to visit, but probably not live in. Or is it the same for you guys?
for me, a place where I feel like everyone should visit, I would say South Africa. Yeah, because there's a motion of life. I have never been to India. That's one of my on my list, but I haven't been there yet. But I, there's a motion of life that happens there. There's a rhythm with the people dancing and a happiness with the most simple things that I feel is true. Hmm. So I, Italy actually is the country that I've visited the most. I've been to almost every city in Italy now, especially coming down to southern Italy. I came here when I was 14 the first time on a European teen tour. Weissman Teen Tours, which is like now, I don't even know if they still operate the tours, but it's for Jappy white girls and boys from the East Coast of New York for $12,000. They were willing to take you on a European tour for 1 month.
Wow.
And the half of the tour was in Italy. And one time, actually, we pulled over in a bathroom and she was like, where's the bath? Or at a gas station in Italy. And she was like, where's the bathroom? And I was like, down the hallway. She's like, how did you know that? And I was like, oh my God, I've been here when I was 14. I've had the same problem as you.
So you travel pretty much all the time, right? I mean, you don't really stay in one place very long.
Yeah, I have ants in my pants.
You have ants in your pants.
Yeah, yeah. I do.
And I like to dance.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So since Geneva is 10 years old, mm-hmm. what do you do about school?
We decided last year to homeschool her. So she finished her third grade in Jackson, Wyoming, and her teacher had a parent-teacher conference with me and said, look, I see that you two like to travel because I've looked up your Facebook page. I'm changing the name right now. And I wanted to tell you that she is not a child that's integrating really well in the playground atmosphere. And I think that she might benefit from homeschooling because she has a natural curiosity and penchant for being a team player, but she's not finding her team here. And maybe her team is elsewhere. Honestly, I don't feel like it's going to be in this school system. So if that's something you can do, you might try it. And she said, I'm not saying that to pull her out by any means, but I do find that this is one of the children that I rarely recommend maybe homeschooling. And so I thought, let's give this a try. And it worked. It was difficult in the beginning.
Yes, it was definitely difficult in the beginning to get into that thing. But after a while, you're just kind of like, okay, well, I got to learn this. And he's not writing on a chalkboard for me, like what A plus A is. Mm-hmm. So you just got to learn from a book and say, oh, well, a chemical reaction is this and this and this.
Wow, I wouldn't even know that.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that you do homework pretty much every day, right?
Yeah, I try to. Like, today, like days like where we went olive picking like we did today, mm-hmm. I tried, I'm just like...
That was olive picking. Geneva has a knack for speaking very quickly.
So I try to get it in as much as I can, but like if today I was just really tired after like that big day, so I was just saying, well, I'll knit and stuff like that just to still feel like I've done something, but like not like the big goal.
Uh-huh. But I noticed how much of the curriculum or how much of your daily activities do you decide or he decides or you decide together?
Well, for me, I try to, like, what I'll do is I'll try to go through what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask him, is that okay?
The word she's looking for is negotiation.
Because I know she does, like, oh, I want to do a science project about this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah, so it's interesting, like.
She
yes.
has a chart and a goal sheet that she has where she gets rewarded positively for doing certain things
cool.
and negatively for not doing certain things, which are substantial or important. But what I want her to do is to be curious and to know herself, because I think that's the most important thing, is to know yourself.
Yeah.
Know when you're tired, know when you're interested, know when you're not interested, but still have the perseverance to continue regardless.
Yeah. So today you were olive picking.
Right.
Is that the first time you've done it?
No, we went a couple of times before.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. It's like really relaxing. And especially that today we got like these little cute little rakes that we got to rake the olives down with.
It was like combing My Little Pony or whatever it's called.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's exactly how I thought of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just really like relaxing. You got like a lot of time to think. But the best is when you're like, you go through the olives and pick out all the branches and then you're like relaxing, almost falling asleep, and then the guy comes in, he's like starting with the machine. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That does wake you up.
So you've picked olives like four or five times now, right?
Yeah.
Do you Do you know what the child labor laws are?
No.
Well,
she's not worried. It's a hobby. She's
participating. More like a hobby. Yeah.
That's what they tell children in China.
Wait, well, but going back real quick, just because I don't want to pass over the homeschooling, I'll get some links from Austin, maybe from like resources for you guys if anybody's ever interested, and give you some notes in the show notes, which, you know me, I don't know what freaking number we're on. It's livingvillacapelli.com/47. Yes.
And I understand that a lot of people don't have the time to homeschool. But what I do think is that you can take 9 months or 6 months or whatever, because actually children do waste a lot of time at being in school. It's important as an adult and as a parent, most importantly, your number one job, to know your child. And I don't think that's possible without educating them. Mm. And a lot of people rely on a system by our government to educate our children without really knowing what are my child's difficulties, susceptibilities, curiosities, interests, excuses, honest. Yeah. And how can I help that in a way that's going to be beneficial to my child, to encourage them to go prosper in their own individual way? And I really think that every parent, I'm really one of those parents that really does believe that you should spend the most amount of time as possible with your children. And I've regrettably overlooked often educating my child and spending more time with her in the pursuit of money. And it is one of my regrets. A lot of people say I don't have any regrets, but it's one of mine is that I overlooked spending time with her for money. And that's not right. I feel
How long did that last?
For my life has always been, I met you two when I was very successful as a 20-year-old or 21-year-old. I think I was 20 when I met you two. And I decided that money and independence was my most important factor in life. And I tried dating and that didn't go so well for me. And I decided that I needed in life to have a little buddy, because I'm more of a little buddy type myself, and I know how important that feeling is to find that big buddy. And I knew that I could be somebody to show someone something in some place, and I thought, this isn't going to work out for me relationship-wise, so I'm going to have a child. And people have children for different reasons. It's a little doll that they want to be responsible for. It's to patch a relationship. Random note, I've owned furniture stores and I've seen the most horrendous fights between couples.
Paul and I get in fights at IKEA. Like, IKEA's the worst. Right. Don't go to IKEA. If you're a couple, do not go to IKEA together.
So I mean, the two of you are inseparable from what we've seen. You're together 24/7 and you travel like all the time, different countries. How does your wife feel about this? What do you mean you don't have a wife? How can you have a child if you don't have a wife?
So, and she knows the entire story because I've been upfront with her. When I was 21, I decided that I wanted to have a child. And I think that was precocious for the time and for my age. And many people recommended that I wait until my 30s. I'm so happy that I didn't. Because I had a lot more energy then than I do have now. I'm 34, and when you're 21, you have a lot more energy and can-do spirit. And I decided that I was going to hire a surrogate. And I called a surrogacy agency. I called adoption agencies. And this woman was very fluffy on the phone with me. I never met her, but she was like, I know your application, Austin. And honestly, there's lots of good families out in America right now who are looking for children. And what I have to do is take your application, because I think it's a good one, but I'm going to pick it up and pick the pile up and put yours at the bottom. Because there's a lot of couples out there who have been looking for children. And have been together for 10 years, who have a wholesome relationship and family and a warm house to come home to. Yeah. And I kind of took that as my daughter speaks French, but I was like, now I have to prove to you that I can do this.
Yeah.
And I voiced my frustration to a friend of mine who was actually my French teacher when I was 16 and trying to find my way out of my household, who I found on AOL. On AOL, I used to search by similarities or interest. And she, I searched French and teacher, and she spoke French and happened to be a chemistry teacher. And out of the two people who appeared on AOL, out of the 100 million subscribers, she was online. So we started chatting, and interestingly enough, in her life, she needed a bit of money during the summer. And I told her I need to pass French 4 because that's my key to graduating early. And can you help me? And so my French teacher not only taught me French, but she also made me realize that I'm gay. Because she would open magazine articles to me and ask me to describe her. And then she would ask me to describe him. And she slowly recognized where my eye went. Yeah, Aaron with an E or Aaron with an A. Yeah.
Wait a second. That story was cut short though because she, is that her mom?
It is.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's what I thought.
So this woman has played a very important role in my life, and she herself has had her trials and tribulations, and she periodically is one of those people that I would reconnect with on a yearly or 2 year basis, but things would just start off as new. And she would send me something as text, as easy as a text message, I want to come to Paris, because I left where I was going to school in Colorado to move to Paris to do my architecture studies when I was 16. And she came to visit me when I was 17. Like, hey, you, I remember you.
Wow.
And I'd like to come visit with my, at the time she was a lesbian. She floats back and forth between big black African football players and lesbian women who were like lipstick lesbians. And she came to visit me in Paris, and she took me out and showed me many things that I can't mention.
But there is also a big difference between, that I've noticed anyway, between lesbians and gay men. Gay men will not so often go with a woman, whereas lesbian women will, more often than gay men will, go with a man.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And I will say, when Geneva's been here, Geneva, you talk to your mom at least once every couple days, right?
Yeah, probably like every other day.
Yeah.
So if not, I message her.
So. Yeah, so they have they still have a relationship, which is cool.
So when I was in New York and very successful, at the time I met you two. When I met you two, I had just been fired from Pastis day.
Right.
And I met you two in a cafe, and you asked me what I was doing drinking. Asked me what I was doing drinking wine at 11. I just got fired from my breakfast service. Yeah. And my mom told me to buy a hamburger and a glass of wine and figure out what I was going to do with my life.
Cool.
Or my next step. And I decided that real estate was it. I had imagination and vision, and I had contacts to make financial means meet. And 2 years later, I was very successful. What I did decide was that I was going to have a child and use that money to help her. And things didn't go well because the economy happened, the recession, and that caught New York off guard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, it was a descending trend throughout America, but we didn't really feel it in New York.
At the end of the day, that's kind of why we're here as well. It was because of 2008, and you know, things just weren't going the way they were, and a few years later, we found this place. But a few years before, we had already found this.
But this was more of a distant plan, sort of.
It was never even a plan. It was really just like you, we were both very successful and had a lot of money, and we just said, wouldn't it be nice to have a villa in Italy? like everybody else would do. And, but then all of a sudden when 2008 hit, it started becoming, well, do we really need this big, huge apartment in Manhattan? Do we need the Porsche Cayenne S? Do we need all this other stuff? No. And little by little, we started shedding stuff. And then we said, do we really need to pay all this money to live the way we live here, where we could be living in our beautiful villa in Italy, which we don't even have a mortgage on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a big change.
Isn't that funny how life pushes you to go who you really are? I mean, we often forget, I think, especially as Americans, because we grow up in such a materialistic society, to remember the fabric that you're made from. Yeah. Your fabric, Stephen, is Texas, one that I can't fathom or imagine. And Paul, you're here in your fabric of your life that you wanted to come back to and not only unknit, but examine each piece of, because you have this quilt that you don't know what you're made from. My fabric is Wyoming and Colorado, and I don't know exactly who I am, but I want to go back to that. And I have this philosophy of life that people like, there's two scales on the color spectrum. There's the warm scale and the cold one, which is like cold is the grays, the blacks, the greens, the blues. And the warm is the yellows, the reds, and the whites. You know, people like beaches, deserts, and those people are fine. But I'm a mountain person. I like the grays, the blues, the greens, the streams, the rivers, the mountains, the cold. And I feel like those people sometimes are incompatible because there's always this struggle. And you have to recognize who you are and ask yourself basic questions. One time with her, I made her do a 10-page, which I lightened down to like 8, PowerPoint presentation. And the first PowerPoint...
She's 10, for Christ's
sakes.
I know, and I forget this. But I think that these are life things that you should ask yourself. And actually, she did it out of like wanting to do what I did. But the first page is, what color are you? What color represents you? And is that a warm color or is that a cold color? Yeah. And the second thing is, what life, earth element represents you? Wood, earth, rock, ocean, what? What is that your vision of? And the next one is, what would your name be if we hadn't named you? So what is it?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I
what
named...
What was the answer?
Mine was Austin Frost. I told her that I'm not really attached to our last name. I don't really get along with my family anymore. And I was looking for a new last name. I told her we're changing passports. I'm getting all my documents sort of redone for my European visas. And she came up with Frost. So I was like, I'll be Austin Frost.
And what about yours?
I don't remember what I did.
Bagel. Really? Yeah. Because our last name is Nagel. And she decided that she had been picked on enough. And
you own it.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. You know what? That's really cool.
Because Geneva... Bagel sounds kind of like, I need a bagel.
Geneva Nagel. A bagel, sorry.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Geneva Bagel? Would you like to some of that? So let me ask something, Geneva, since your dad's been talking like forever now.
Always does.
Exactly, right?
We go to the grocery store, we run into my teacher, or where I'm standing, we're like, I wanted to go buy gummies, okay? At 2 hours pass by. I'm standing here like, I'm freaking out. I'm hungry. I want to go. He's like, oh, yes. And then we did this and then we did that. I'm like, shush, Dad. Like, we're finished.
So I think a lot of people, not just people listening, I think people in general, have a lot of misconceptions about what it's like to be not only a gay dad, but also to be the child of a gay dad. Now, I have, you know, I have 3 kids, right? And I'm a gay dad. But what's it like from your end? Do you think your life is quote unquote normal? Do you think that you're missing anything in your life?
Well, I wouldn't quote unquote say normal, but it's kind of
which
like,
is good because nobody wants to be normal.
No, but no, I just think that like the it's also I feel like it's hard for like to have to so, like he's my dad but he's gay, so it's different for me because then it's like, well, you don't really get that mom-ly side who to braid your hair, so it's kind of like hard for me on that bit, but for him he's like the cool dad who tries to make up for everything. But, yeah, you don't really feel like you're missing anything except for, like, that momly figure. But, like, sometimes, like, if you see, like, a really great mom or something, you'll be like... Okay. But it's not that hard.
So how's it been here? How long have you guys been here now? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? A month?
Wait, can I just... acknowledge that we're having so much fun here because Paul doesn't realize that we've been here for like a month and a week.
I know. So my daughter Casey is here. Casey's 27. The way I see you guys, Geneva, you and Casey, it's almost like big sister, little sister. right?
Yeah.
Is Casey's presence been, I don't want to say helpful, but has been nice to you? Do you feel like you finally have like a girl you can hang out with other than your dad who's a big girl?
Yes, exactly.
Fuck you. Allergies, you're sorry.
Yeah, she's definitely been like an older sister that I can kind of look up to.
Yeah. You think you're going to be friends for life with Casey?
I hope so.
I think so too. It was just a question. Don't look at me like.
What? Funny. I'm not looking. I'm pointing the mic at you. I'm not looking at you. Oh,
you just point the mic like it's a gun or something.
Sure. I'm going to segue to something different just because, I mean, you said you were super successful, but I think I asked you a question in the very beginning when you came here. So I think it's to some people's point, even if they're not going to travel with their children for 18 months, or whatever. But how do you afford it if you're not working?
The first time we left on a world tour was after the recession. I literally took it was a big budget. And I said, we're going to travel the world for as long as we can.
Yeah.
At that time, we did things that we wouldn't be able to do on this trip because we don't have the same budget on this trip.
Yeah.
Mainly because I haven't allowed myself to have the same budget. But honestly, what people don't realize is that when you go to nice hotels, and this is what we realized on the first trip, when you go to nice hotels, no one's talking to each other. There's no laughter by the pool. Yeah. There's no giddiness at the restaurants. There's no sense of like family and community at the evening dinner. People don't ask if you're okay or come play with us, you know. When you go to Motel 6, people are like, there's a barbecue at 7 p.m. and everyone's bringing something. If you want to bring some hamburgers for you two and pick up some meat, and we have all the buns and the tomatoes and the lettuce and everything and the ketchup, just come join us.
Yeah, that's cool.
People are like doing the most goofy things. And goofy, somehow, when you have money, gets eliminated because you think you're superior to that.
Exactly.
And that's wrong. That's so wrong because we lose our sense of community and there's nothing separating us except for money.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want in life, is to build walls or hedges or separation. We need to live together. And that's when I had a big awakening, was when I was in Whistler up in Canada, and I went for a walk at night with somebody I was dating. And we ended up at this lake. We lived on the poor side of the lake. And on the wealthier side of the lake, you could see all these enormous homes descending down to the lakefront. And we just sat there and we kind of voiced our opinion on life. And I thought to myself, those homes look like coffins. People have decorated and illuminated their coffins. And they're just polishing them all their life and filling them with things.
Stuff.
And that's not who I am, and that's not who I want to be. And I had this realization, hoping that he would chime into my realization, and he did. He was like, let's go. And I thought, let's.
Yeah.
So do you consider travel a big part of Geneva's education? Is that part of the reason why you're doing it? I mean, do you want Geneva to appreciate the world, appreciate people of different cultures, or is it just because you like to travel?
I'm an adventurer, and I feel like she deserves a home and a shelter, a place where she can come home to and know that this is hers and her place in the world.
But isn't that who you are?
Aren't you who I am.
No, aren't you her shelter?
Yeah.
I bet you and Geneva would think you are.
I've tried to teach her that my chest and when we cuddle up together at night is her home.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if something happens to me, I don't know how she'll view the world or where her place in the world is. But I do know that there's lots of people in this world, including you twos, who would love to take care of her.
Yeah, we told Geneva she could stay. Austin has to go. Yeah. But Geneva can stay.
Yeah. Austin. Yeah.
I know where the dog door is, you showed me. But I can't help myself. I've never had that stability in my life, so I don't recognize it as important. But I do find being here actually in Villa Capelli for a month, and I'm happy that you've afforded us this lovely stay here, especially with your daughter, because she has the bigger sister that she dreamed of but also never wanted. But I realize that this is what life is about, family and finding your home and finding your role in life in a sense of community. And often we don't find that. The sense of community that we find in the U.S. is often with our profession or our work.
Yeah. Well, especially in the bigger cities.
Yeah.
But again, you didn't answer the question. Do you think travel is a big part or a not so big part of Geneva's education? Seeing the world or experiencing the world, not just seeing the world, experiencing the world.
What I wanted her to know is that this is not it. What we live in America is not exactly how the rest of the world operates. As Americans, we use way more energy than the rest of the world, 37% more. And we use far more walls and ways to close ourselves off than the rest of the world.
I mean, I think, I mean, to me, travel is education. I mean, guys, I mean, like, I did not, growing up, I did not travel outside of my small town, like, until, I didn't leave the state until I was in eighth grade.
Whereas she used to wake up and my dad would drive her 20 minutes and she'd be like, what country are we in?
Exactly. Like, for me, it's like, it does just traveling.
Austin just said something very interesting that I had never thought of before. That, you know, people in America, we like to sort of build walls. I don't want to use that in a pejorative sense, like we build walls, to keep people out. But I guess that is one of the biggest differences between America in general, and it is a generalization, of course, outside of the big cities, and Europe, for the most part. Because, like, in America, most of us, when you're not in a big city, live in standalone homes. Right. Whereas in the big cities, you live in apartments. And in Europe, especially in Italy anyway, you know, most of the population lives in apartment buildings. So, yes, of course, you have walls around it, but you are in much closer proximity to your neighbors than we are in America.
Yeah. Correct. And not only that, but I sense outside of the U.S., people in these big apartment buildings know each other. They have got each other's back. They have a sense of, I'm
There's
responsible.
There's a sense of security when you live there, yes.
That you don't find. I have a funny story. My best friend was in the elevator. He's completely aloof. And this woman walked in, and he asked what floor. And he lived on the 15th floor. And she said, I live on the 15th floor as well. And he was like, what? And she's like, I've lived there for 20 years. You've lived there for 5. We've never said hello to each other. He was like flabbergasted and embarrassed. Like, I don't know this woman that lives down the hall from me.
Yeah.
For 5 years, they've lived next to each other.
No, it's very common in New York, actually.
Was that London Terrace?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In London Terrace, 15th floor.
I mean, I would say the last apartment we lived in, I knew the crazy neighbors that let the cat out in the hallway.
Yeah.
Other than that, I couldn't tell you who else lived on our floor.
No, we lived in so many apartments on London Terrace, but it's funny because people here in Italy, I think, feel much more secure and safe living in an apartment. Yeah, but in Italy, people live in apartments. Don't call them apartments ever. I'd say that's my house. That's my house. So, you know,
what is an apartamento then for them? I mean, there is a word for it.
Yes, there's a word for it, but they never use it as to where they live.
Yeah.
An apartment is like, you know, the difference that we use sometimes between my house and my home.
Right.
You know, home is different than, But here, house, when someone says my house, they live in an apartment. Mm. They don't live in a standalone home. Yeah. You know, a standalone home in Italy is a villa. It could be two-room standalone home, but that's a villa. Everyone else lives in, I live in my house, which happens to be in a building with 36 other families.
But also, there's a total difference in the community here, whereas just like, especially with family, because family is so important and you have dinner together, I mean, lunch together on Sunday, no matter what, as a family. So there is still, and you come home.
Every family's three generational here.
Yes.
There's the grandparents, the parents, and the kids.
And even lunch, they have lunch together.
Yeah. I find that absurd that Americans kick their children out at 18.
Well, I don't know if they kick them out.
But yeah, you're expected. If some 24-year-old tells you in America, I'm still living at home, you look down on them.
Yeah, no, yeah, and here it's common easily until you're in your 30s and you get married.
Right.
Until you're married, you live at home,
which is such a foreign concept
to us.
Which is also why, you know, people, Americans think it's so cute and romantic that when you go to Paris or you go to Rome, you go to a lot of the big cities in Europe, or most cities in Europe, but especially the big ones where most people travel to, they think it's very romantic and charming that you always see people kissing and making out in the park and, you know, at the cafe and stuff. You know why they do it? They don't have a home to go to.
they're both living with their parents. What do they do?
They can't do it in front of their parents on their parents' sofa because they all live at home.
We do not need to be explained why cars are foggy.
Sorry, No, it's one of those weird situations.
So let's wrap this up with Geneva.
Okay.
So Geneva, give us a little insight as to what it's like for a, can I use the word precocious, young girl?
But you said also, you asked a question earlier, like what it's like for a 10-year-old. But I want to show people what a 10-year-old can be. Because if everyone does their job correctly, hearing her speak, this is how a 10-year-old can speak.
Geneva is 10 years old, going on 30.
I forget she's 10 a lot of times. Yes, I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, but I'm not just talking just like mentality, brains, conversation, even her gestures. She's like a 30-year-old, young, beautiful woman.
Munchkin.
Yeah, I'd like to go on up to Munchkin.
Okay. What was your final question?
No, just... I just want to hear you say or talk about briefly, because I know you can go on forever, almost as bad as your dad.
She's not that bad. She's not that bad.
I mean, do you love traveling? Do you like being in different parts of the world, meeting different people, or would you rather be settled down and have a house like, you know, the American dream? I have a house, I have my friends, I go to my school.
Well, apparently, for me, the American dream just seems boring. Like, I don't know why I need all these walls and everything else. Like, going on to what he said, but all you really need is just maybe a plane ticket to go to different places. And it's really nice going to different places, meeting different friends. That sometimes when I went to Venice with my dad, I met a girl, and she just said, "I live in London," and so we kept talking and talking, and finally you're like, "Oh, maybe you can come to London." I was like, "Oh, thank you. It was really nice. Like, different things can happen. I've made tons of different friends in tons of different places. Mm-hmm. Some of them I keep in touch with, some of them I don't. Mm-hmm. But it's always just a part of a big experience. And you just keep going and going and going until you find what you're looking for. And for me, it's just keep going."
So that was the proof in the pudding, ladies and gentlemen. Those words would never have come out of a 10-year-old girl that was raised in the conventional method.
Exactly.
My question, two questions. Where is your home? Where do you feel like your home is? I've never asked her this.
Somebody else asked her. I know her answer.
Well, two things. Everywhere and where you are.
My thing is that people can travel. And people who pay $5.50 for a Starbucks, whatever, if you save $10 a day after 4 months, so $10 a day, 4 months, that ends up being $1,200.
Exactly.
And all you have to do is put a $10 bill in a jar every day.
Exactly. And have one less cup of coffee.
Exactly. That ends up being $1,200. And from the U.S., you can go anywhere in economy class all over the world for $1,200. Yes. And all you need to do, and to going back to our budget on this traveling trip, all you need to do is stay one place and just see if you like it. And then start talking to people and find the lowest budget you can. I've had to clean hotel rooms myself on this budget. Yes. We are trying to travel this time on $1,500 a month. So that includes plane tickets, food, hotel, everything. Yeah. We have checked into $11 a night hotel rooms in Malaysia where I was like, "And we're going to go buy sponges and some bleach. And we're going to stay here for 2 nights. And we're going to talk to these people and let them know that our intention is to find a better place And maybe they might tell us, let's stay here. And usually that's what happens. They're like, you two are nice. Stay here. You guys can have it for whatever, $15 a night.
Yeah,
and we're like, okay, well, we don't want your housekeeping because I don't want other people's hair and stuff in my room. But I just clean the room myself. And literally that's what we've been doing this time. And we've had so much more fun this trip. Than the trip when I had a substantial budget. And this trip, we have now pretty successfully lived off of $12,000 for 10 months.
Yeah.
And we could do more. And I've flown my first economy class, like on a long haul flight for 11 hours with her, with the child. And I've learned a lot more things than I ever want to learn about cleaning or food. But you know what? You have to do it.
Yeah.
You eat the wrong food, you learn about antibiotics, or you learn about water preparation. But that's something that most of the world has to worry about.
Exactly.
And so why should I be privileged and not know about this? It makes me feel uneducated, honestly.
Yeah.
So I've learned about it, and we've just dealt with it. And we're happy, healthy people, and here we are. And thank you for having us here at Villa Capelli. Because honestly, this place is the home that a lot of people hope for. Because everyone doesn't get along with their family. I don't get along with mine. But these four walls that you have, inside of which you have built a garden, a home, spaces that are independent, and you get to come together in this warm kitchen where we are tonight having this podcast. This is awesome. I mean, you guys have found your paradise.
I just want to end this with one thing that, if you haven't figured out yet, Geneva is the mature one. Of the two.
We are Pinky and the Brain, and I am Pinky.
Oh,
and
I'm like, let's rule the world. What are we doing today?
Yeah.
I'm going to put a video of Pinky and the Brain for those of you that don't know in the show notes. I love Pinky and the Brain. I'll end this, and then I'll let these guys tell you where they can find them. But remember to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you never miss another episode whenever we do one.
No.
Sign up for our newsletter, guys, so you see all the wonderful stuff. This time we have a lot of good comments lately on the stuff. We have a new video out, which I'll also link to maybe, but we're going to do a whole podcast on
that later.
Yes.
And the websites are?
They all link to each other. VillaCapelli.com.
VCVilla.com. So please check out our olive oil and our products.
Yes.
Please help us sustain our life and so we can...
No, you guys have been very, very good about it. So thank you so much for your support. And you'll find these guys at... I'll let Austin tell you where you can find them. If you want to follow their adventures on Facebook and Instagram.
And it is an adventure.
Yes.
Can I first attest to... I have been witness, and I'm quite a judgmental person. But you two really are in charge of everything. I've been with Paul Capelli at 7 in the morning, harvesting the olives, whacking them off the olive trees. And then he takes them... After I'm exhausted and I walk back to his house, he takes them to the mill. He sets an appointment for them to be milled. And then they get milled. And then they come back to this house. And then Stephen takes care of them and bottles them and oversees the bottling of them. And then he mixes all of his ingredients along with Paul's lovely daughter, who shall not be mentioned.
Her name's Casey. Her name's Casey.
Yeah. And she's been this wonderful spirit for both my daughter, but also for me, because she has this can do, I can spirit. And she's getting things done along with Stephen. And together they work as a threesome that have been shipping you guys olive oil for
years.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, 11 years now.
And so when Paul says that he watches over every step, he really does.
It's exhausting. Paul's really tired this week.
If you want to follow our adventures, we are under Peter Tink for Peter Pan and Tinkerbell on Facebook.
So
and
good.
Two Nomadic on Instagram, the number two, and then Nomadic.
So guys, hook up with them because it's fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Grow up with them.
Yeah.
Fuck you, God, these allergies. I don't know where they come from.
All right, I think that's it. Are we wrapped up?
Yes, we're wrapping up.
All right, thank you guys. Arrivederci.
Thank you very much. It's please check them out. It's a wonderful, wonderful adventure that they're both enjoying and experiencing.
Thank you for having us because we've enjoyed our stay here, and I think you can come here too.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye. Arrivederci.
Buonanotte.